What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show. We're here with the Utah Jazz manager, college scouting, and my brother Sean James on the Boss Man Show. Sean, what's good with you guys out there in Utah, man?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. I appreciate you having me, and all is well. You know, camp started, so all is well.
And Sean, we see a lot of your work because the Jazz, one of the young teams in the NBA, and it's all that young talent you all got out there for Will Hardy to coach up, man. So talk about the process of trying to find the right young guy for your program out there in Utah as you're trying to rebuild this thing up.
It's so important, man. What's important, of course, is the talent. You know, you want to take the best available talent that's there. And at the same time, you want to make sure they're good character kids that could fit into your program, could fit into the organization, and try to maximize their talent and their potential. And any young team in the NBA, that's what you're looking for, talent and character.
No doubt, brother. And it starts when you go see them on college campuses, man, and see what, and watch their film. So for you, for the young guys listening to this interview here today, what do you look for in a young man in college when you go scout him, when you're doing your reports and trying to evaluate him? What are you looking for in a young man so they can kind of get an idea of how they should carry themselves on the court when guys like yourself and your team are in attendance at their games?
Well, you know, you look for so much because you got to think it's the NBA, right? It's a business. So you look for the character piece, and also you look for the ability to actually play this game and see if whatever – you're doing at a collegiate level can translate and bring you success on the NBA level. So just from a skill standpoint, you're looking for talent. Talent, no matter if you're a 5, a 1, a 3, 2, 4, whatever, you're looking for talent, and whatever the best talent is, that's what you're going to bring to your organization. But for me and a lot of other guys, man, just keeping it strictly basketball, we like to get there early. We like to get there a few hours before, see guys out there, whether they're doing maintenance work on their body, whether they're getting up shots, whatever that prep looked like prior to a game. So we're there hours early talking to assistant coaches, talking to staff members, and all of those things just to get a feel for the kid. But just from a basketball standpoint, you're there early just to see what type of work and routine they put into themselves prior to the game. And then off the court, man, it's everything character-wise. You know, your circle, what you're about, and just talking with people that you think really wouldn't matter. But those are some of the people that really give you a true insight and look into that.
No doubt, Sean. Like you said, like, it's just funny you say that because I know when college – coaches recruit players. They go talk to the custodians, the janitors, the cafeteria ladies, the church folks. So all those people around who know the young man's character is very important because when you come to the league, you might not play right away. You got to put in the work. You got to be willing to work despite not playing. And talk about that piece of it, being a professional. Like, while you might not be on the court right now, but still putting in the work to be ready Because we know injuries are gonna happen. You're gonna have opportunity eventually. So talk about that piece of being professional despite not playing and still putting in the same work every day.
And again, being professional, that comes a lot to do with the character aspect of it. You know, because whether it's a jump from middle school to high school to college, college to the NBA is extreme jumps. You going from playing as 18-year-olds to grown men, 3, 4 kids out here, you know. So it's night and day when they make that jump. So the character point is important because you're not going to just walk into this gym or this arena and treat it like a college atmosphere or treat it like a high school atmosphere. So the character piece matches because you want to know, hey, if this kid isn't ready yet, how is his approach and his mentality? It has to be assigned to the G League and get some of those reps until he's ready. You know what I'm saying? So the character piece is extremely important for these young guys when they're coming to this level, because it's not just a cakewalk where you're going to come and you're going to play right away. You're going to have to take those hits, take those wounds, and take those reps in the G League or miss a few games without playing. So that's when you want to make sure the character matches the skill set as well.
No doubt. And Sean, how important is these young men out here to really self-scout themselves, really watch film of how they play, how other people who compare to them play, try to find the ways to strengthen their weaknesses as well, while maximizing their strengths so they can find the right role on the team and master the role that the team needs at that time?
Absolutely. But you see, boss man, one thing with that is it's not really self-scout, right? You want to be able to criticize yourself as an individual, as a player. You got to understand everyone's role is different. So the role that you play in college might not be the role we need for you to play. So if we're telling you, you got to do X, Y, and Z, but guess what? You've been a top 1-2 guy on every team for the last 3-4 years prior to the NBA. You still feel like you could get out there and be T-Mac, be Tracy McGrady, do this, do that. You know what I'm saying? You probably still feel you could do that. So you got to focus on where your feet are and exactly what that organization is asking you to get those reps. Because a lot of these guys coming fresh out of college, it's only 2 guys on each team that probably get plays called. Everybody is a pro. You know what I'm saying? So it's important for them to be able to critique themselves, but also at the same time, pay attention to what your coach is asking you to do to increase your reps, and not what your AAU coach or your high school homeboy is telling you. Hey, we used to get 40 doing this, this, and this, and now that's in your mind instead of what the coach is trying to get you to do to actually get them reps. So that's a big difference in learning curves for a lot of young guys.
No doubt, man, what you say. And also, I'll say this, Sean, too. Keep them trainers out your ear, because the trainer ain't doing what the team wants you to do. It's not helping you. You know, you got to make it match what the team asking you to do, because the team is paying you to be. So it ain't the trainer. He ain't the coach. So I think some young guys need to let their trainers be on the sideline and not undermine what the team is trying to have them do.
Absolutely. You know, no knock on the trainers, but they're coming from a different space where, hey, boss, man, I need you to cross, step back, hezzy, pull that. I don't need that. Someone open, swing the ball. You yes. Open, take that. You know what I'm saying? Simplify your game. And a lot of the trainers, the stuff they putting in your little bag and all that isn't really simplifying your game. I see where it's coming from at this level. You got to focus on that organization, that team that's paying you, and not your trainer that's trying to get you to do all these other things that the coach doesn't need you to do right now.
No doubt, brother. And you know what? I was really intrigued about the scouting piece of it. I see, guys, I'm pretty sure you're scouting internationally. You're scouting, of course, D1 to D3, trying to figure out what works. And so for you, how much film are you watching these guys? Is it more clips? Are you doing headquarters for a game? So kind of how are you attacking, trying to have a whole purview of all these basketball players internationally and NCAA and kind of make it work for you and your staff?
Wow, well, that's a great question. Well, one thing is definitely not clips. because you could watch clips all day and everybody look good. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely not clips. It's definitely not highlights because no one missing their own highlights. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
And when you watch clips, you're not getting the full landscape of the game and how it flowed, how it happened, and all that. So for me, I'm big on watching games, the entirety of a game. So now if I'm watching player X, I want to make sure I see him live. I see him X amount of times the full game. And now when I got a good feel for him, now I could just pull up a game and watch the clip because I already know what type of player he is. But for majority of the time, you got to watch the full game. You have to watch it. You got to see how he gets back on defense. You got to see if he's making the right swings before the ball touches hands or whatever the case is. So full games, games in persons, even better because now you see their physical tools. You see, he really 6'4", he not 6'6", 6'7". You get all of that stuff when you go live. And you get a lot body language-wise when you go live as well because all of that matters. Where a lot of times when clips is chopped up, you don't get the whole landscape. So definitely live in person and clips. And the entirety of the game, the full game.
No doubt, man. And like I said, I know some scouts as well, and I see them on their phones and putting the notes in the phones. And talk about how detailed the notes you have to have. You have to present this to Danny Ainge and ownership and how important that is to – so you get the full grasp of the player you scout. So talk about the reporting piece of it, trying to put them reports together. I see you all do it. I'm like, it amazes me. I'm like, yeah, I would love that's. I see what the work you put in watching these guys play. So talk about that part of it as well, man.
You know what? I'm going to just speak on myself. The notes is primarily for me and my group. You know what I'm saying? So with management, with our GM, with our president now, and ain't nothing like in notes that they don't know about or they haven't seen themselves because the majority of the time they're at those games and all that. So the notes is mainly like refreshers and stuff on that player. And then your whole group could just see your thoughts on that player. But trust me, it ain't nothing in that notes that I'm putting in that like our group, our management isn't well aware of and they don't know already. My point of view might be slightly different. It's mainly me, my thoughts. Now, when we sit in these rooms or talking about player X, I could always reference exactly what I thought when I seen this player compared to when you see him. And now we got a good back and forth type of deal. You know, that's primarily what the notes are for, just to know where you stand when June come and the draft comes around so you could go back and kind of see. Because you watch so many players, you might not remember everything. You know what I'm saying? It's important to have your little notes and all.
And for you, man, like when the draft period comes, man, how excited a period that is for you, man, from that period, going through the workouts, seeing guys, kind of seeing the fruition of your work come together, making the right pick in the first and second round, getting the right undrafted guys to come in for workouts, to field your G League team as well. And about how that process is for you, kind of like your Super Bowl almost that time of year.
Man, this is what going into 26 with my 7th draft, man. So it's incredible. It's incredible because it's a combination of your work for the entirety of the year. You know what I'm saying? It's literally the whole year from you starting, from watching them on every circuit to watching their pro day, watching regular season, the highs and the lows. Now you get to a point where you and a whole bunch of the pit bulls in a room. And you're like, yo, stand for the guy, speak on your guy, tell the truth about this player and things of that nature. So it's always a great atmosphere during that time because you're just comparing all of these young talent that are fit any organization. You know what I'm saying? A lot of good talent. And you're just going back and forth on which one you think fit you best. And at the end of the day, your president, your GM, those are the guys that ultimately will ownership ultimately have that final say. So it's always a great and it's always an exciting period. And now with the NBA being 2 days, you get to focus so much more just on that day, just on that day. So it's unbelievable. I enjoy it every year, every year.
Yeah, because at first for me, I was like, you know, as a radio guy, and, you know, I was kind of iffy on the two-day thing, but I realized talking to guys like yourself that it gives you time to reset, actually. Look at the boards, see who's available, kind of see who's willing to take a certain contract or not, and see who works. So I get it from your perspective now. Like, for me as a radio guy, I want to see it go to one night, but for you all, what you all got going on, not having 2 minutes in between picks and trying to decide to trade up, trade down, and protection zone picks. I get it for you guys there.
No, absolutely. And you know what? A lot of people don't know prior. When you do those two rounds, man, you know, y'all on East Coast time. So for y'all, it's even later. But a lot of the deals after the second round, when it was both rounds in one day, man, you're in the office 1-2 in the morning, making calls, making deals, because you're trying to construct your summer league team, because summer league is 2 weeks right after the drafts almost. You know what I'm saying? Well, ours starts like around the 6th of July. So summer league's 10 days after the draft almost. So now when the days are separate, like, you could do the first round. And since we're here, we're 2 hours behind. We have the entirety of the day still, as well as the next day, to kind of see who's still available, this, that, and the third. So for us, front office guy, well, for me, it flows great way. I enjoy it that way, instead of, you know, sitting there for 5 hours and you got to worry about all these guys undrafted, two ways, exhibit 10 guys and all of that. So me and a few guys, we really enjoy it with the separation of the days.
No doubt. I'll definitely reach you on that. Man, I know you started off as a pro personnel scout with the Jazz after being operational assistant. So talk about that role as well, what they entail, kind of scouting the pro guys. Were you scouting just for games for assistant coaches? Or were you scouting for just guys who we could maybe sign a trade for if it works out for us around the deadline?
Absolutely. When you're doing the pro personnel, it's a lot of intel, as everything else. You know, you want to make sure this young player, you might think highly of this young player that's just not getting that amount of reps, and you're just watching whatever minutes he plays. You're just monitoring how his approach to the game, even though he's not playing, or if he's playing limited minutes, you think he could play a bigger role for you. So now that game comes in a trade opportunity to acquire that person. You could speak on his progress throughout the year, not mainly so the game, because you could sit here and tell me about Trae Young. You know, you could sit here and tell me about this player that's already in the NBA. So it's mainly about how they would fit your program and how they was handling the ups and the downs of that season. And based on where you are in your season, if it's a veteran piece, get you over the needle that hasn't been pumped, or it's a young talent you feel could develop with your program more so, then you pay attention to that. That's mainly what the pro side is on.
No doubt. And I feel like you guys, all those picks you got, you like the OKC 2.0, because you got all them picks you all got, man, and trying to build this thing up the right way. And I really think y'all have something brewing out there, and you have the right guy, the right temperament, and Will Hardy to be out there. And talk about that, man, having the right people for this rebuild you're doing, the retooling that you all are doing in Utah, and you're doing it the right way, but having the right people and support from ownership and on down.
Yeah, well, you know what? First, it starts with ownership, right? And it starts with management. It starts with Will, our head coach, creating an atmosphere to where he's pushing these guys, and at the same time getting the best out of them, but at the same time letting them know they got to compete, letting them know that this is the road, this is the progress, this is where we're trying to go. So that's very important. And also you gotta be conscious of exactly where you are. You know, for us, Utah is a small market, so a lot of our talent, we have to establish that in-house. All the pieces we were able to get in to get back all these picks, these are pieces that we drafted and developed. You know what I'm saying? So Utah being a small market, we you got to pay attention to the character stuff as well as the character issues, because we want to make sure they're coming to a smaller market, how they're going to handle a smaller market, and just make sure they're on board with the growth of what we're trying to do in the picture we're trying to paint. So it's a lot, but, you know, I'm fortunate to be with an organization that's totally all in in every aspect of it, development, growth, better of these players. So it's been good. It's been good for us. So situation, man.
Nah, no doubt, man. You definitely got something brewing out there in Utah, man. And also being in Utah, it allows you to focus on your craft more than you will be living in Atlanta. I feel like you come to Atlanta or New York where you from, or Houston, you got the opportunity to get distracted by the outside noise. But in Utah, ain't much to do there but basketball and focus on your craft and get better.
No, and that's exactly it. You know, that's one of the benefits here, man. You, at the end of the day, you're in the NBA. At the end of the day, you're traveling all the time. At the end of the day, a lot of these talents is coming from different states, whether that's where they went to school or just a different state in general. You know what I'm saying? They're coming from different areas prior to coming to Utah. So once they get here, it's strictly basketball, but it's not just basketball. Salt Lake City, Utah in general, is a great place to be as a young person, especially trying to learn ropes of the NBA. And be real, like the longevity of this career isn't that much. So if you could come somewhere and you could really, like, focus, the primary focus is basketball. It's not Atlanta where you got something to do from Monday to Monday. You know what I'm saying? It's not that. You come out here, like, nah, focus on your basketball. Of course, you could get in trouble anywhere, right?
No doubt.
Opportunities for that everywhere. Enjoy yourself. But as a talent, you learn the ropes of the NBA. And Utah has been a great place for that, not just to start their career, but to continue their career.
No doubt. And since you play professionally in overseas, so talk about that experience in helping you when you scouting a young man, knowing that you've been in their shoes, you kind of know what it looks like. You played at a high level overseas, won a championship overseas as well. So, but having that experience when you're in the rooms talking, because you actually play at a high level overseas and been around this game a long time, when you're trying to sell a player and you talk to a player as well, or you give them some advice off the cuff, maybe.
No, absolutely. Because you gotta understand first, just from the European side, man, being over there for 10 years, I tell a lot of these young guys, man, if you make it to the NBA, you've always been on a trajectory, most of you, to where you're very good in high school, you're good in college, automatically the step mentally and with people around is the NBA. So a lot of times I just talk to them like, be present and understand where you are in the NBA, because I'm telling you, a lot of them, if the opportunity comes and they have to go to Europe, a lot of them, like, will not make it in Europe. You know, Europe is a different animal. You know what I'm saying? So if your path has always been the NBA, if you get there, you lock in and do everything you need to do. Because you end up in the middle of Serbia doing 2-3 practice a day, out of sight, out of mind. It's not easy for a lot of them young guys. You know what I'm saying? You don't have mom in the home cooking right around the corner and all that. Or she just flying, driving to you. Nah. So you get an opportunity, as rare as that is with the NBA, young fella, maximize that to the full potential. Because everybody ain't going to be able to go to Europe for 8 or 10 years. You know what I'm saying? So I try to paint that picture for them to, like, yo, like, understand where you are. Because the other side, I just don't know if you're going to be able to be out of sight, out of mind for 9-10 months and then come back for 2 and go back again. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So be present exactly where you are, because you go across the waters and it's an animal over there.
Yeah, it's a whole nother level of basketball. I'll let them brothers understand.
It's a whole nother level. And that's when you, boss, man, you go to a place that don't speak English, your money ain't on time, you're practicing twice a day, you 7-6 hours behind, ahead of family. it could get nasty for them mentally. So I'm like, when you get this opportunity, like, maximize this to the whatever them coaches is asking you to do, maximize that. Because if you can't do it here, you won't be able to do it there at all.
No doubt, man. And for you, Sean, like, I know you come from Guyana, a great place, man, and moved to Brooklyn. So for you, when did basketball becoming something that you really got into, man, and that you said it's going to make this my career, make this my passion?
Wow, well, man. Well, that's a great question. My story, my path is completely different, man. I didn't start playing basketball until after high school. I was 17, 18 years old. So you speak on Atlanta, you speak on major cities, you know. I'm from Brooklyn, so that I was involved in a lot of stuff that was not basketball related. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
And being there, like, whoever, a lot of times the best players was on the corner selling their little dime, their little nickel bag. So for me, I'm like, man, if he over there doing that and he better than me, what makes me think I could take seriously, you know what I'm saying? My path is different. I started late and I got forced into it. Met an amazing man, my mentor, rest in peace. He paid for me to go to a prep school, and literally that was it. I never, 4 years of high school, I never touched the basketball. I went to 1 year of prep and the rest was history. Like, nothing more than that. So for me to be in this opportunity is crazy, because like, my path is totally different from all these kids that I'm evaluating, like, completely different.
No doubt. Going Northeastern and going to Duquesne, man. And so, like, then you say, I'm going to try this thing and go pro, man. So, hey, I respect it. You believed in yourself. You had your talent, man. I remember watching you when I was I'm a little younger than you, but yeah, I remember watching you, man. So, like, yeah, but bro, you had a different path, man, and you did it your way, but it's also a show that you can go a different route.
You can.
And still make the same place.
You can. You can go a different route, man. It's all about, like, if, you know, I was 17, no exaggeration. I was 18, 17, 18. From there, no high school. Played an AAU summer with Juice All-Stars. Mentor paid for me to go to prep, and that was it. That was just my path. And with a lot of these kids, you know, I have kids myself now. So knowing my path, I approach them differently, because now I see a landscape of professional. Every level is youth sports is professionalized. So for me, man, even with my twins, my two oldest are twin boys, and at 14, I wasn't doing what they were doing. So I walked them differently. You know, I let them be 14 in a sense. We don't need to be out there running hills with resistance bands and got trainers twice a day. Nah, man. Boy, be 14. Your body just in the change. I can't professionalize you at 14, but that's 14. A lot of these kids is doing this type of workout from the time they're 7, 8 years old. So by the time 6, 7 years, they're like, yo, I'm off this. I'm off of all of this. How now when they get a chance to make a decision and they like 16, but you have them doing this for 10 years since they were 6, trying to create this prodigy. He burnt out by the time he is sophomore in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he can tell you about it now, but he couldn't tell you about it before because he was a young boy still. So now you get 16, 17. These kids been training since they were 7. They burnt out. So I let my kids be kids, man, and just continue to guide them and also make sure they're doing something positive, but letting them know whatever sport that is, we don't got to be going crazy like that.
You're right, brother. Like, I played football, basketball, baseball, tennis, and bowling. I had options. You know what I'm saying? Because Pops was like, he didn't want me to be burnt out.
Yeah, it's important. It's important. That's why you see a lot of these, not to go off track, man, but that's why you see a lot of these injuries in these kids, man. It's because, like, we out here training, running hills, resisting. Yeah, it might look cool when Steph doing all of this type of stuff, but that's a grown man. His body is fully matured, fully developed, all of that. That means you got doing what Steph doing at 11, 12. You can't do that. So understand that. So it's just totally different. So me, how I approach my kids, and they're very talented, but I let them be 14, man. I let them be 14.
Man, Brother Sean, that's a word to end this on, brother. You said a word to help the parents listen to what you said, because it's real. These injuries you see, all these overuse, overworking, this burnt out, it's because, like you said, we're specializing too early. And I feel like me playing other sports helped me in the sports I care about the most, because I have skills and talents and movements that I can replicate because I've done other things. It wasn't just one thing I did.
Absolutely. Like, don't go professionalizing these kids just because you see them, their favorite player doing it, man. Like, let them be that age. Don't compare Boss Man in Atlanta to Sean in Brooklyn. Don't do that. Let walk their path and just continue to guide them. But don't force it, because as soon as that young man, young girl have a chance to make a decision, it's usually, in my field, you always see a lot of talent. You're like, ah, man. He's so talented, this, but the butt is usually that kid is burnt out. That's why they're not playing as hard. That's why they're not in the gym. Nah, they've been doing it way too long, and the love for it is literally burnt out. So you'd be like, oh, boy, man is talented, but that's usually the butt, man. Is the love for that sport isn't where it needs to be, so they don't play at that level that you think they should play at.
No doubt. Brother Sean, I look forward to seeing you when you come to town, man.
Hey, absolutely. Absolutely.
We got to do this again real soon, brother. I hope to see you on the road as well, brother. When you come to Utah, when you come to Atlanta, when the Jags play the Hawks, man, I hope to see you, brother, as well.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
Anytime, brother.
All right. Peace.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.